from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the Giants' very disappointing 6-4 loss yesterday to the Pirates. Giants led 4-2 going into the ninth inning. Will Smith was unavailable, and the Giants' bullpen allowed 4 runs in that ninth inning. It was a long, crazy, sloppy inning. We'll talk about that, but also a bunch of other key points coming out from yesterday. We had some injury updates on Tony Watson, Reyes Maranta. We had some quotes from Buster Posey about his confidence being not where he'd like it to be. And we also had a replay that went really long that I'm going to go on a little tangent about how I feel about replay, because it's been a while since we've gotten to do that. But first, their record with the loss of Giants fell to 69-75. The Cubs won against the Padres, so the Giants lost a game in the wildcard standings and are now 8.5 games back with just 18 games remaining. Their elimination number is 11. Prior to the game, there were a couple of injury updates related to Giants relievers, and it turns out that Tony Watson fractured his wrist on that diving play in St. Louis, which was an incredible play to tag Colton Wong. It was huge in that game, but unfortunately, he came away from that with a small fracture in his wrist, and it's possible he could miss the remainder of the season. He's going to need at least 10 days, and Bochy thinks he'll need a splint. In other news, Reyes Maranta, it was announced, will have surgery to repair a torn labrum in his right shoulder today in Los Angeles. So that is bad news. That is a long recovery process, and it's a serious injury to come back from, and one that a lot of guys don't have all that much success coming back from this particular surgery. So very rough news for Reyes Maranta, and we wish him nothing but the best, his surgery being today. And as he begins the recovery process afterwards. So all of that said, this was a Madison Bumgarner start in the game yesterday. And once again, I mean, he was okay, but not at his best. He allowed just 2 runs in 7 innings, so that's very good. But 7 hits, including a homer, and it was his 6th straight game allowing at least 1 home run. And in 8 of his last 9 starts, he's allowed at least 1 home run. So on the season, he's allowing 1.24 home runs per 9 innings, which is actually better than league average. But also on the season, he's thrown a lot of innings. I think he's first in MLB in innings at 188 2/3. But the numbers are just kind of modest. He's got a 8.78 strikeouts per 9. Walks are good at 1.86 walks per 9, but the home run rate is, you know, more or less average. So all told, the ERA, fielding independent pitching, are about 10% better than average, and the expected fielding independent pitching is about 5% better than average. So why do I say all of this? Because Bumgarner is going to be a free agent, of course, and he's 30 years old, and I just am seeing so many comparisons here to Dallas Keuchel, who entered free agency last offseason at the age of 30 with numbers that were about 10% better than the league average, and he had thrown about 200 innings in that season. So the other thing about Keuchel is he has a little bit of a postseason reputation as being a big game pitcher. So it's really hard for me to not draw really strong comparisons between Bumgarner and Keuchel, including the fact that Bumgarner is almost certainly going to be extended a qualifying offer by the Giants, which is like a 1-year, $20 million deal, approximately, that figure being set by the league. And if he rejects it, then if Bumgarner were to sign a free agent deal with another team, the Giants get draft pick compensation. And essentially, that's bad for Bumgarner because teams don't want to pay him as much because they'd have to surrender a relatively high draft pick. So this did not work out favorably for Keuchel, who went into the offseason expecting to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 years, $80 million. That was kind of a figure projected by both MLB trade rumors and Fangraphs to be in that same neighborhood. And lo and behold, Keuchel did not get that, and he ended up having to wait until after the draft because that draft pick compensation went away. So then he could be signed without a team having to give up anything in terms of draft pick compensation. And he signed for just 1 year and $13 million. So it was the only reason I'm talking about this now is because it was not long ago at all. We had some local writers throwing out contract numbers for Bumgarner, and we saw something in the neighborhood of, you know, 5 to 6 years for $130 to $150 million. And I said it at the time, but it's becoming increasingly clear as the season winds down. He's only going to make three or four more starts here. That is just not going to happen. So we can talk more about this after the season ends, but I think he, and I'm not saying this is right or fair, but I think that if he were to get half of that, then he would have done well for himself in this market. Again, not saying that's right and not saying that he doesn't deserve that, but I am just being realistic based on what the market has been like the last couple of years. I also think people tend to overvalue Bumgarner a little bit. He's good, but he's not a top 10 pitcher in the league. So anyway, yesterday, just another start, you know, that was solid but not great. And the Giants kind of cruised to a nice little lead. We had Buster Posey laying down a bunt in the first inning that went down as the first sacrifice bunt of his career. And he was really trying to bunt for a hit, but he was thrown out, so they called it a sacrifice. And then in the third inning, he singled, which made it 16 straight hits that have been singles for Posey. Hasn't had an extra base hit since mid-August and hasn't homered since July. So we're going to talk more about him in the second half of the show. Mark Sanchez of KNBR.com getting some quotes from Posey after the game about his offensive decline this season. So yeah, we'll talk about the Giants' collapse in the ninth, the replay that lasted way too long in the ninth inning, and those quotes from Posey in the second half of the show. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, we'll talk about Buster Posey, some quotes about his confidence, this ridiculously long replay in the ninth, and then the Giants, of course, blowing their two-run lead in the ninth, and to me, effectively ending their season. So it has not been a good offensive year for Buster Posey, and it's very tough to watch a guy who was at the top of the world for the early part of his career come crashing down to the point where he has this season. He's hitting .257 with a .324 on base and .370 slugging on the year. Still very good defensively, so he has that going for him, and he provides a lot of value on defense. But, you know, he's hit in the middle of the lineup all season long, and it's just become apparent that he does not, he is not someone who represents a real threat there. And I do wonder what his role will be under a Farhan Zaidi-picked manager next season. Posey's slugging percentage since August 1st is under 300. So 16 straight singles for his hits. And that's just a perfect illustration as to why batting average is a flawed statistic. You can have 16 hits, and it can, if they're all singles, it's just not nearly as valuable as if you have fewer hits, but a lot of them go for extra bases. We cannot just pretend that it doesn't matter that the 16 hits were all singles. It 100% matters. So since August 16th, the day after the last day that Posey had an extra base hit, he's got a 324 on base percentage, which is right around league average, and it's fine. It's not good, but it's fine. But the slugging percentage in that time is 258, which is the same as his batting average, of course, because none of the hits have been for extra bases. So even though he's got a league average on base percentage, because the slugging is so low, he's been 40% below average offensively during that time. If we go to August 25th, he's hitting 293 since then, which a lot of people will jump at that and say he's been great. But the slugging is 293, and he's been 25% below average despite the 293 batting average. So anyway, Posey has become a perfect illustration of that point. And after the game, he told Mark Sanchez of KNBR.com, "If you look at my numbers, you can tell I haven't had the greatest year. So confidence is probably not going to be at an all-time high." So a surprising admission for Posey that his confidence is shaken. And to be perfectly blunt, it's like not his fault at all that this has happened. You know, I think there would be a lot less pressure on him if they moved him down in the lineup where he belongs at this point. Anyway, essentially, Posey just went on to say that he's got to bunt more because of how much he's struggled, which is tough to see. I don't think, you know, this is not going to be how it is next season with the manager putting Posey in the middle of the lineup and Posey choosing to like lay down bunts batting second and constantly just trying to do hit and runs out of the two spot. That is like 1980s baseball, not the way the game is played anymore. So the fact that the Giants are trying to do that right now is just kind of a, you know, enjoy it. If you like that type of baseball, enjoy it for the next 18 games because it's going to be gone next season. Posey is not going to be grounding balls to second base with the runner in motion and laying down bunts out of the two spot next season. So anyway, the Giants took a 4-2 lead into the ninth inning. They got a nice appearance from Tyler Rogers, but then he pitched a scoreless eighth and then came in to face one batter in the ninth and gave up a single. And then in came Fernando Abad, and this game really got blown when with Fernando Abad on the mound. First batter hit a weak ground ball to third that Longoria made a nice play on to get an out, but then he walked Josh Bell and then allowed a deep single over the head of Mike Yastrzemski. Everybody thought he caught it, and that's why it was only a single, but it loaded the bases, and then in came Yandel Gustave for Kevin Newman, and Newman singled to right. That tied the game, a good jump by Starling Marte, who was pinch running at second. And then Brian Reynolds, the guy the Giants gave up in this Andrew McCutchen trade, the guy who's going on to have a phenomenal rookie season, and the Giants absolutely must regret that trade or wish that they still had Brian Reynolds. He singles to give the Pirates the lead. And then there looks to be a double play ball off the bat of Melky Cabrera, but Mauricio Dubon like drops the ball on the exchange, so it's ruled. So they don't even have a chance at a double play. And then it goes to replay to see did they even get the out at second. And then this replay takes 3.5 minutes when there's like no games going on across baseball. And it's almost 1 a.m. in New York. So it's just very bad optics for MLB when these replays, it's late in San Francisco. So it's ridiculously late in New York. It looks like they're not paying attention. And there's no reason that that replay should have taken that long. At that stage in the game, and MLB is concerned about pace of game, it's just 100% unacceptable to me. They need to have someone in the ballpark, an extra umpire who's monitoring all of the camera angles and can make a call, someone who's paying attention to the game at hand and not doesn't have to be woken up in New York and to be provided context as to what happened. You know, who knows what's going on over there, but It looks like they're asleep and they have to be woken up. And I don't think anybody's happy with it. So they end up overturning the call after a huge delay. So the bases were still loaded with one out. So that was the second time in two games that Dubon has made a costly defensive mistake that led to additional runs being scored against the Giants. I've liked him defensively, but, you know, he's got to tighten up those types of plays. So anyway, next batter hits a sac fly. It's 6-4. Giants should have had him out at the plate. Jalen Davis made an incredible throw to home, and the runner was going to be out, but Posey couldn't hang on to the ball after he tagged the runner. So the ball pops out of his glove, should have been the third out, a guy thrown out at the plate, but instead the run scores and it's 6-4 Pirates. Next batter pops up to Crawford and he catches it, but he almost drops it. It like starts to come out of his glove and he hangs on to it. So just a very sloppy inning for the Giants there with Will Smith unavailable due to the back tightness. So they need him back sooner rather than later. Although, I mean, with them being pretty much out of contention, they shouldn't push him at all. But that inning reminded me and made me think even more that the Giants ought to perhaps consider trying to sign Smith to a multi-year extension. Because having a lockdown back end of the bullpen is really crucial when you're trying to win games, obviously. Anyway, the Giants couldn't get anything going against Felipe Vasquez in the bottom of the ninth and lost 6-4. Coming up tonight, it'll be Johnny Cueto making his season debut for the Giants. Very, very exciting. Great to see him back. He'll be on the mound against Keller, young, talented rookie right-hander for the Pirates. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.